Dialing, Elliot.
Division of Corporations, Lee speaking. How may I help you?
Oh, hi. I was trying to reach Melanie Sellers.
Okay. Let me see.
As I understood, yeah. Is this the director's office or?
Yes, this is the director's office. There's more than just one person answering it, though, so it goes to different people.
But she does work.
I think she just came back from lunch.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Let me give you her number.
Sure.
It's, let's see, 850-245.
Okay.
6892.
Is that a direct number or?
It's a direct number.
Okay, cool. And I'm sorry, your name is?
Leah.
Leah, awesome, Leah. So you think she might be back from lunch? I'm not sure.
Yeah, she should be back from lunch now.
Oh, okay, awesome. I'll just call that number.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you, Leah.
No problem. Bye. Bye.
Are you there?
Yeah.
All right, so now I'm going to try the other number. Well, I thought the other one. All right, there, the other one finally dropped off. Direct number for Melanie Sellers, Tuesday, September 20th, 2015. Kevin Hall, Elliot Bernstein, Florida Secretary of State, 7020 Lionshead Lane, and the Lionshead Lane Land Trust, Inc., Boca Raton, Florida, and the Mitchell Hewam matter. Dialing. Are you there, Elliot?
I am.
Division of Corporations.
Oh, is this Melanie?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Melanie. We spoke. My name is Kevin. And we spoke back in like February, I think it was like February 18th this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had some follow-up questions. And I do have somebody else on the line. His name is Elliot Bernstein.
Okay.
And if I can give you a document number, maybe that'll kind of
help. Sure, I'm ready.
It's P15009545.
Okay, thank you. Lion's Head Land Trust?
Yep, Inc. Yep, that's correct, yep.
Okay, yeah, I see it. Okay, so what's going on?
Well, not sure if that rings a bell with you at all, because I had given you some information back then on the 18th. I thought you were going to, like, my understanding was you were going to be checking with this S. Gilbert, who I guess is the internal, you know, Department of State person that was on the file. And then you were taking the information to the director's office, because I had been reporting to you that there was fraud in the filing with the listing of one Lalani Ochoata as the incorporator. And just trying to see first what became of that, And then we, I guess there's some follow-up that we have too. I guess there was a couple issues that the Lalani Ochoata was not an incorporator of this company, and then also that the registered agent that was listed in Tallahassee there also claimed to have no knowledge of the filing as well, and was not considered, had no knowledge of the use of their address, a principal place of address, or Tallahassee address and name as the registered agent. So there was a couple of different areas of fraud inquiry that was being made.
Let's see. So is this business, is this your business or the gentleman that's on the phone, the other line?
No, except no, nothing. I have absolutely nothing to do with that business, and to my knowledge, neither does he can speak for himself in that regard. However, it does impact directly impacts property and interests that he does has asserted an interest in, and actually has gone to both federal and other state authorities on, including the FBI and other sources. And things have really changed since we spoke last, because there is potentially a murder that occurred within about 5 days of speaking to you on the 18th. That actually occurred at this Lion's Head Land Trust, or excuse me, Lion's Head Lane home. Elliot, does that sound about right from, I mean, obviously speak for yourself here.
That does. And we've also taken it into federal Judge John Blakey, John Robert Blakey out of Illinois. We took in all your information that we spoke with you, that what has transpired. My question is, have you started a formal complaint, and is there a complaint number for this case yet?
We don't take complaints against businesses. That is the consumer services. I do see that there was a registered agent resignation form filed.
Recently, right?
Yes, just last, well, the 14th, a little over a week ago.
Right. Now, what does that mean? What is that? Because I saw that as well, and I'm just trying, if I can just interject for a second, I'm trying to make sense of the PDF that I'm pulling up from the SunBizOrg website. Like, I see this kind of faxed something, registered agent resignation document, kind of stamped the 14th, but then also stamped the 15th of 2015, and then it looks like a letter that your division issued to the land trust, about the the agent resignation.
Yeah, because they have to have one. Any business, they have to have a named registered agent. If there's a resignation and they do not appoint another, person to be named as a registered agent, it will be dissolved. I think the time frame is maybe 60 days that they give, for them to reassign a registered agent. There was only a resignation filed, that's it.
Okay, but what about the part, because we actually talked about this in February of this year, that the actual incorporator is false. It was filed by a false incorporator. We have a authorized, consented, recorded statement from that Lalani Ochoata, from about the same day I spoke to you, the 18th or the 19th of February, stating that at no time was she ever aware of this. She did not authorize this. This is not something that she did. And that's the information I had. I hadn't gotten that statement, I think, from the time I spoke to you. But when I spoke to you, I had known that there was no Lalani Ochoata, who claimed to be listed in the document, is basically living at 7020 Lion's Head Lane. So, my understanding was you were taking something to the director because of the false, the allegations of the false filing. And then, so you had at least two levels of inquiry. You had the fraud inquiry.
I gave it to the examiner. Yes, that's what I did. The examiner, the Sylvia Gilbert, that's the name that's stamped on it.
Okay.
She's the one that filed it. I had given the information to her. But the issue with that is we don't, you know, we don't file complaints against businesses. We don't take complaints. Something has to be either a form, you know, to dissolve this or a resignation form or whatever has to be filed to make any changes.
So if somebody commits fraud against the department and they're filing, though, you have no process to address that?
We don't. No. No, there are departments that do. Yeah, the Attorney General, yes, they do. But us, no. If something is, if they file the proper form, which this individual did, and they make payment, we have to file that for them.
Right, right,
you know.
Right. But it wasn't. See, that's actually what we talked about. And actually, you had commented about how Ms. Gilbert would have missed that because there is no you said that it goes through a review process, right, internally, the examiner.
Well, and it's only reviewed to make sure that that name is available, that Lionhead Land Trust is available, and to make sure that you know, they have the addresses filled out. They can't list a P.O. box. They have to list a physical address. That's the only thing. And they had a incorporator's name. That's the only thing that we check.
So there was no there's no process to review if the registered, because that registered agent that's listed there actually had been dissolved for quite a few years, didn't exist. So I thought you said you had checks and balances to make sure that the registered agent actually exists. Because if you otherwise you're starting off with a fraud filing right from the beginning, right?
Right. Yes, I see what you mean about the registered agent. Yes, it is supposed to be checked to make sure that they are still an active, you know, they're still in good standing with the state to be listed as a registered agent.
Okay.
Yes, they are supposed to be checked.
Oh, sorry, Kevin.
Well, go ahead, Elliot.
Well, I just wanted to ask, so, and I want to be very clear on this in your answer. You have no obligation once discovering fraud on your department, a mechanism by which you're required by law to report that misconduct to anybody in your agency, is what you're saying? So if you see fraud, waste, and abuse, you're not required to report it to an inspector general or to anybody. You can just go on with doing nothing. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Our department, no, we have nothing to do with the business, what the business does not do, you know, whatever.
But if a fraud has been committed in getting a approval from your agency
to do business,
and you've been
right?
frauded by somebody, you have, your department has no obligation to report that fraud to anybody? Is that, you know, I'm home, but you'll be the first government agency that I know of that has no such policy.
No, sir, because all we do is, yeah, right, I understand what you're saying. All we do is file the forms. No, we don't.
So
we don't have to.
Then what does the examiner do? Because you just said that the examiners check to make sure the registered agent is valid. So if the registered agent is not valid and they know right from the outset that this is a deficient, defective filing, they don't have a procedure to refer it to the agency?
Yes, they should have resent that to. They should have sent it back to the person that was registering this, whomever that is, you know. They should have emailed it back to them or sent a letter out to them stating this is not a valid registered agent, choose another, you know, that it won't be filed with the state until you list a registered agent that is active with the state.
That's been done?
Yes.
That should have been done at the very beginning.
Right, and that's what I thought you were going to be following up with Gilbert and the director to kind of like check on what happened there. So that's why we're trying to see what took place after the notice was given and then what the examiner's done with it since. And then I imagine the examiner, somebody has to have authority or rules to say, okay, we're looking at criminal fraud here. Here's how we contact the state attorney general or the inspector general or whoever it is once you're aware of the fraud, right?
Right. Yeah, that's. I give the information to the examiner. From there, I mean, I don't have any part of it.
Okay.
Well, should we talk to the examiner at this point?
Yeah, that's what I'm
Yeah,
saying. How would we
if I
get?
can
How would
put
we?
you.
Yeah, if you could, does she have a direct number, and can you transfer us?
Hold on, let me find it. Okay, it is 850-245-6817.
Okay, awesome. And are you able to directly transfer us or no?
Yeah, hold on one
Okay,
second.
before you do that, I'd just like
Yes.
to get verified again, I'm on the cell
Sure.
phone. You're saying that once you become acknowledged of fraud, you have no obligation to report possible fraud, waste, and to anybody. Is that
No,
correct?
no, no, that it, we do not know that it's reported by, whomever it is involved with it to consumer services. And
So it'd be on the examiner to send it over to Consumer Services.
right, either the examiner or, if they send the letter out and whoever else is involved with it, they have to connect with Consumer Services or Attorney General.
Okay. So 850-245-6817. Did that clarify it, Elliot? It did for me, but I don't know about for you.
No, that's fine.
Yep. Okay, if you wanted to transfer us then, Melanie, that would be great.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, I was
There you
looking
go.
at this registered agent, and they did do a voluntary dissolution, but that's been, looks like, long ago. The ISL
Right.
Incorporated was used as their registered agent. Okay, let me put you through to her. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Melanie.
You're welcome. Yes, sir. Okay, sir, you there? All
Yep.
right, I got the wrong number. Let me go and get her new number.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to come back and give you that. Actually, is a different coworker, so scratch that number that I gave you.
Okay.
And
And you're in Tallahassee, right?
yes, sir, we are.
Okay.
It's going to be 245-6908.
2 4 5 6 9 0 8.
Yes, sir. Hold on one
Okay.
second. Let me get you.
Okay.
Communications. May I help you?
Trying to reach Ms. Gilbert.
Speaking.
Oh, Ms. Gilbert, good afternoon. My name is Kevin, and I was transferred over from Melanie Sellers. I've got a file number that had some questions on it, or like a document number, whatever it would be. I don't know if you just want that, and then you could look it up, and then we could start from there, or...
What's the document number?
Hold on one second. It's... Make sure I got... Oops, that's the wrong one. This would be... P, like Peter, 15000049545.
Lionhead Land Trust.
Yep, Lionhead Land Trust. Yep.
Lionhead Land Trust. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and as Melanie knew, we also have a gentleman named Elliot Bernstein on the phone with me as well.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, Lion's Head Land Trust, Inc.
Just a second, please. Okay,
well,
how can I help you, sir?
Well, I guess just first of all, trying to see if Melanie had ever sent you information back in February about some of the fraud that was being reported in the filing and setup of that company.
To my attention?
Yes, as the example.
Not to my attention.
I'm sorry?
No. No, not to my attention, no, sir.
So you didn't get any...
I haven't record of anything.
You didn't get anything internal from Melanie or the director's office about the fraud that was reported in the filing in February?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. That's problematic for sure. Because what was being reported as of February 18th of this year was that the incorporator... was false, Lilani Ochoada. Okay, it was a false incorporator that never existed at 7020 Lion's Head Lane, Boca Raton. And
now, this is done online, so what's being done online? We have no control over.
I'm sorry, it's what now?
This was done electronically. It was filed online, so we have no way of knowing, you know.
Right. No, she had said that. Melanie had said that, but then she had said that there was a process that the examiners go through. Like, for example, you would have no reason to necessarily know Lilani Ochoada was false coming in over line, right? Obviously, we understood that. But the registered agent itself, you know, it was clear that the registered agent actually was the one listed and the address is for a company that was dissolved and not in existence at the time that the online filing was done. Melanie had indicated that that was something that should have been flagged. And then Melanie was also provided with that information on the 18th of February of this year, 2016, that Lilani Ochoada was a false incorporator. So that's why I asked if she had ever gotten that to you, because she said that she was going to, actually. So anyway.
Kevin, she just stated again 5 minutes ago that she passed it to you and that you were in reviewing it and would have the obligation to report the fraudulent transaction that occurred, and the fact that your own examiner
sir,
to prove.
We don't handle anything. I don't handle, you know, fraudulent filings or anything like that because we don't know. Well, you know what I'm saying?
Who does?
Elliot, hold on. Let's keep things clear. Melanie has told us that she gave the information to she was sending the information to Miss Gilbert as an examiner. And just so you know, Miss Gilbert, Melanie has told us that as an examiner, you know, you do have a basis to verify whether the registered agent is valid, and then if you're aware of impropriety or fraud, that there is a process for examiners to report that at least to the Consumer Services Division?
No, I'm sorry. I don't recall talking to her, telling her anything. The only thing for is the registered agent. We can catch on a registered agent when a document is coming through is that if they use a corporation, like they did in this case here, and the corporation is not in our database, then we flag it and reject it, send it back, and let them know that
the corporation is in your
on our database.
The corporation is in your database. As a
I'm not talking about registered agent, sir. It was resigned. I'm talking about the agent, not the corporation.
No. The registered agent was the registered agent on your own database, and I have copies of this from February of this year. The registered agent listed at 1540 Glenway Drive, Tallahassee, Inc., ISL, Inc., had been dissolved even prior to the initial filing. So that registered
agent... They just resigned.
No. That's a different registered agent out of Delaware. That's not the registered agent that's listed out of Tallahassee. And I've actually got downloaded documents from your state database showing that ISL Inc. did not exist as of the time that this was being done. So it looks like somebody's trying to come in after the fact and pull something out and maybe change the records, but that doesn't change the fact that they didn't exist at the time it happened.
Okay.
Right, I mean, in fact, I went through this expressly with Melanie. She checked it while we were online in February, and she confirmed. Right here. And I just searched your database right at this second. ISL Inc. comes up as inactive in your own sunbiz.org database.
Yeah, they resigned, sir. They're inactive status.
They were inactive. They were dissolved in 1997. Okay, so that's the point. How could a company have registered a new entity like Lion's Head Land Trust using a registered agent that had been dissolved by your own records in 1997?
It's possible it happened, sir. If I've been oversight by the examiners. Did not catch it at the time of incorporating in 2015.
But I thought you were
it's
the examiner.
That it was
I
an thought... oversight on the agent that didn't check and verify the agent at the time of processing. We do make mistakes at times, sir, but and then the examiner did not catch that. Let me verify that. And it's possible that it could be registered. Let me see. Hold on for a second.
Yeah, because I got your document number P96000079975 filed on
now.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
inactive voluntary dissolution as of 2/21/1997. So that would have been like.
Oh, there were some on here now, sir. That was more recent than that. So let me
see. Yeah, I mean, I see that somebody sent a fax in using the same name out of a different address, a Delaware address, but that's not the name or the registered agent that was used at the time of filing. So you're basically like letting somebody withdraw that wasn't the same person that actually filed.
Well, sir, I don't know. Somebody, they resigned from the operation on that feed number for now.
Yeah, I mean, I can send you, I don't want to take your time because I'm not trying to rush you. I just want to make sure we understand we're on the same page here. Again, that document number, if you want to just look that up because, you know, I can download it right off of your website right now as we're talking.
What's the number?
It's P96-0000-799975. Because that's what something that's something
that number's invalid. That's not the same corporation.
Really?
That's not the same location. That's not the same.
Well. So all right. So let's do what Melanie and I did. Actually, we already did that, and we looked up ISL Inc. And the only three that came up and come up, right, in your system, all come up as inactive. ISL LLC inactive. I.S.L. incorporated inactive. ISL comma Inc. dot inactive. And then those are the only three that have ISL. So all three, I'm looking at your website right now, all three possible versions of ISL all come up in a...
Fine. I guess that, sir, that corporation was an oversight. It was never, it shouldn't have been, should have been caught from the start when they first incorporated that it wasn't registered at the time.
Which means that the entire corporation was set up in fraud.
It wasn't a fraud.
Well, how was it not fraud if the corporation doesn't...
It wasn't a fraud, sir, just that they...
Let me tell you something first of all, Ms. Gilbert. Okay, mm-hmm. I already spoke to ISL Inc. at the address in Tallahassee that's listed on the Lion's Head form, and that person said, "No, we are not the registered agent of Lion's Head Land Trust. We do not have them as a client." And by the way, that person actually told me that they're not even allowed to use the ISL, Inc. name in the state of Florida. Okay? So there's no question that the registered agent did not exist at the time that this corporate filing came into your system. Okay? Now, an oversight in examining is one thing. But Melanie Sellers was also provided information, and here's the key second part to this. Melanie Sellers was also provided information in February of this year that not only was the registered agent wrong, but the incorporator is actually fraudulent. Now, I understand what you said, that when they're doing it online as an examiner, you would have no way to know unless you went out there and searched every single one that ever came in. I understand that, right? Because you had no way to check in your database who Lilani Ochoada is. There's nothing else in your database. But me and the gentleman who's on the phone, Mr. Bernstein, and I should let you know that this information has already gone to one special agent of the FBI within 5 days of Ms. Sellers getting the information on this company and Lilani Ochoada coming forward back in February of 2016, this year. One of the persons associated with that filing of the land trust was found with his head blown off by a shotgun right in the Boca Raton home at 7020, and it's also been reported as a cover-up and a murder, okay? So information's going into, it's already gone into the FBI. It's about to go into federal court. Mm-hmm. You might have, whoever made whatever examining mistakes at that point in time is one thing. The purpose, part of the purpose of being on the phone here today is to let you know that, first of all, you should be checking out why you didn't get this information from Melanie Sellers.
Because, well, sir, I have no way of checking that, because if it didn't come to my attention, to me, then I have nothing to go by.
Well, right,
I mean, well, she's got consent to sue me.
Right, right. All I'm saying is whether you have a supervisor or whatever your process is in there, she told me back in February, and she just confirmed today, that information of the improprieties in the filing was sent to you as the examiner. If you didn't get it, I don't know what happened, but I'm just saying.
Well, I didn't get it, and that would, information did not come to me.
Right. You may want
to be looking at the record on the website.
You might want to check. All I'm suggesting is you may want to check as to why you didn't get that from Melanie Sellers. Because
where am I to check?
Well, don't you have a supervisor? Okay. I mean,
yes,
what's that?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Sure.
So what you're saying is, you've never had any contact with any person regarding this Lion's Head Land Trust. Is that a correct statement, ma'am?
I don't recall. Sorry, it's been how long has it been since February of last year?
No, this year.
This year? But I don't recall talking to, I'm saying it's possible, but sorry, but for documentation of records, nothing ever came to my attention pertaining to this corporation,
sir. Have you had any contact with the Palm? Have you had any contact with the Palm Beach? Have you had any contact with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office regarding this case?
No, sir. No,
okay.
sir.
If you have
because
any contact,
we can't legal. There's no legal person here. If someone called here about legal, from the sheriff's department, we have to turn that over to our supervisor, our director, to handle.
Okay. Well, we've
like
given
that, not
we've,
to me.
We've given already to the FBI, to state police, your name as the person who was now reviewing the materials from Melanie. We put that into the federal record in a federal court case. We put that into criminal complaints with the FBI, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Nobody's contacted you from any of those departments, and you've had no discussions to the best of your knowledge with anybody prior regarding this. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. All right. So Elliot.
Now, wait. I have a follow-up question. Now that you are aware of all this, what is your process for reporting fraud within the department, possibly? What's your next step?
Yeah, well, hold on. That's a great question. That's a great
question.
You
would have to speak to my, sir, first of all, you need to speak to my bureau chief director about anything like that. I don't handle that.
Okay, who is that?
I'll talk to you about fraud. Or anything like
that.
Okay,
who is that? Who is that?
My supervisor, well, my bureau chief, her name is Lynn, mouthful. Anyway, if you want to speak with her.
I want her name. I want her name and her title and her phone number. Yeah.
If we can slow down for a second, I'm trying to write down the name so we get the spelling correct. You said L-Y-N.
Hold on, if it's the correct spelling, her last name, this is a long name. Hold up for a second.
Sure, take your time, Ms. Gilbert.
Another thing, I've been out of the office quite a few because I'm sick and everything, so let up. No,
I got that. I understand what's going on.
Let me have just a second. Okay, it's SH. S is in Sam, H is in Harry.
Yep.
O F F. S is in Sam. T A L L.
I'm sorry, I lost you at S H O F F.
S T A L L.
S T A L L.
Yes, her first name is Lynn. L Y N.
Like Shostal.
Shostal.
Okay, and then do you have a? And she's a bureau chief.
Yes.
All right, because the things that the one other piece of this puzzle to make sure you clearly understand, because I understand how sometimes in these agencies, you know, you don't always get the information you're supposed to get, right?
Right.
For your own purposes, I'm suggesting That you make inquiries, because Melanie Sellers did say today on the phone while Elliot was on there, and again back in February when this first happened, that she was getting information over to you as the examiner to figure out how the registered agent piece of the puzzle got missed at that point in time. But what's happened since then is that the actual incorporator on that Lion's Head Land Trust document, the Leilani Ochoata, has done an authorized, consented, recorded call with Mr. Bernstein and myself back in February of this year when she first found out about this, indicating that she had no knowledge that this was done. She had no knowledge that her name was used. She had never lived at the Boca Raton address that's on there. She's never lived in Palm Beach County in general. She's actually from the Orlando area. And also that she knows absolutely nothing about the Lion's Head Land Trust. And once she found out that her name was being falsely used, she started contacting a lawyer that she suspected may have been involved with this. And that lawyer, his name is Lawrence Pino from the Orlando area. As I said, about 4 or 5 days after that was being discovered and uncovered, and knowing that it was going into federal court, one of the persons involved in this literally ended up with their head blown off by a shotgun inside the home itself, where several million dollars are at play just on the real estate. And there's a lot much more behind that. So I'm just
right. He was found dead in the home that's incorporated, that's put into that corporation that looks like one of these shell corporations that wasn't properly filed. That looks like part of a more extensive fraud that might have ended up in a more extensive murder. And that's why it's very important that you think clearly that you haven't talked to any party, including any federal or state investigators, regarding this case. And you search your files to make sure that, and I would make sure that you search your files diligently.
Like I say, I would not be talking to them. They would talk to my bureau chief.
So they would go to the bureau chief.
My director, rather.
Okay.
You know, something of that,
who's the director?
Would that come
let her talk first, Elliot. Elliot, let her talk so I can hear it first.
It would not come to me. If anything like that would come, go through my director.
Okay.
Which is the name I just gave you. Who?
That's the Lynn Schaffstall. The Lynn Schaffstall. And did you have
they
a phone?
They talk with anybody that comes about information like that for anything of that nature.
Do you have a direct number for Lynn?
Yeah, 850.
Okay.
245.
Okay.
6938.
Right, and just
she's the director.
I'm sorry.
She's the director. The,
Elliot, I need to clarify.
She is the director of the Division of Corporations.
Really? Because Melanie said, all right, so that's confusing me, because Melanie said that.
You get me confused. She's the bureau chief.
Bureau chief.
And the director of the corporation is,
I got her name somewhere too.
Let her give it to us, Kevin, with her number.
Hold it for a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Her first name is Brenda, and her number is 850 Brenda Tatlock.
How do you spell the last name?
She has a new name. Let me get her new name. She married.
Yep.
She has a funny name too. So I'm looking on the directory.
She's the Division of Corporations head.
Yeah, she's the Division of Corporations. She's the
director. Right. And that's who Melanie works with.
The bureau chief. Yeah.
Right. Lynn's the bureau chief.
Do you remember speaking to them?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Did she recall talking to either one?
I apologize. I didn't.
Did she recall speaking to Lynn or Brenda?
No. Melanie, okay. When I spoke to Melanie in February, she was going to take it to who she called her director of the Division of Corporations, which I know now is Brenda. But she said that there would also be something would go out to you as the listed examiner to find out at least how the improper registered agent, made it through or whatever review was done. Okay, so that's what Melanie had said. And then she said, so she said that you would get that information back in February. And then there was a process where, as examiners, things can be referred over to the Consumer Services Division that might actually, eventually somebody interacts with law enforcement or whatever, so that there was a process to actually, pursue that part of the fraud. Although it sounds like you're saying that that's not you folks do.
Well, that if it's a fraudulent, that company, they can do that now. What she just was telling you was correct. If it's a fraudulent company, then if anybody complaining about them, they can go through Consumer Services and file a complaint there with them. Yes.
Right.
If it's someone, like for instance, you want to file a complaint against them, that's who you would contact, not us. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, well, there's two issues, Kevin. The one of us complaining about that it's a fraud, and the one that deals with the fact that how did this get through the department, and is there internal fraud going on within the department? And then my question is, do you have a procedure where if you're aware of fraud, waste, or abuse within the department by an employee of the department, you're obligated to report to say an inspector general or...
Right, but we are not doing that. It's not that we're expecting... We don't search corporations to determine what's a fraud or not. So that's going to come to us. Then, then my director will go from there. But if a corporation comes in and it meets our requirements and we search our records and the corporation in our database, we have to proceed and process the document.
Right.
But it doesn't. Meet that
but
test,
I,
and
I,
that's
I
what
said, in this case,
about.
In this case, there was an oversight.
Okay, who is oversight reported to? Who's oversight? Because we're calling what you're calling oversight, we're calling fraud. And like we said, it tails back to a murder. So this is very important that we understand your internal procedures once you're cognizant of foul play, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, what I'm telling you is best if you talk to my bureau chief. She can give you probably more depth into how things are, how that's handled. Okay?
Right. Okay, you haven't had any conversation with her about this case, correct?
No.
Right. I think what you're saying, and I'm sorry, is your first name Susan?
My name is Sylvia.
Oh, Sylvia, my apologies. I apologize, Sylvia. It sounds like what you're saying is that to your knowledge, you never got like an internal email or an internal memo or an internal inquiry to say, hey, a call came in February 18th of 2016 saying that the incorporator is fraudulent and that the registered agent doesn't exist. Let's check the registered agent at least, because that's something that should have been caught, in the review process. Because
And normally they would send me an email, and I would have a copy of that in my email or in my file.
Okay.
So my intention that my bureau chief would receive the information or a director to put into my file since I am involved, with it. Well, I guess because I filed the document.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They were notified about it.
For your own self, that's why I'm suggesting I'm just suggesting caution because a very serious event did happen before, back in February, after this was first getting uncovered, and that is still being investigated. The family members of the person whose brother literally had his head blown off in this home, are still pursuing matters with the federal and authorities, and and potentially other state officials.
So am I.
And so is
Elliot
as
so
well.
So am I. I've submitted all this to the FBI. That's why you should make a clear record right now. You've been informed of these things as an examiner now. If it didn't happen in the past, you should be reporting that Melanie's email got lost or it never got to you because maybe Melanie took a bribe. I have no idea. But she just told us on the phone it was delivered to you. So
does she have
now
records? Does she have records what she delivered to me?
Well,
okay,
Elliot, hold on. I'm only asking a question.
Does she have what she delivered to me? Does she have a copy of it?
You're asking a very good question.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, she loses to say she actually sent something to me. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
If she
have evidence that she did, then we would need to see copies of what she sent to us.
Right. She has not. I'm just telling you. She did not. She has not provided.
Okay. It's just her word against my word. You know what I'm saying?
No. Absolutely.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was asking the internal process for this. Because
yeah.
right
I
now
mean,
there might be
documents.
Fraud going on. There might be fraud going on within your agency. People might have been contacted, taken a bribe, threatened. We don't know. But we do know that somebody told us you got the information in February and were working on it and had a mechanism to report
when
fraud.
When she said that, that means that I didn't receive anything in February.
Right.
So who told you this? Melanie Sellers?
Yes.
I am the one that spoke to Melanie Sellers in February of this year, and she
Melanie Sellers, now we work together. She works upstairs.
Right. What she told me in February is because she double checked to see who the name of the examiner was on the document. So if for your own knowledge, I'm walking real quick the process we went through, because she told me a lot of the same general things that you did in the beginning. That especially if it comes in online, you know, you really have no basis to check the incorporator, unless it's a incorporation, which in this case it's an individual, so you have no information on the incorporator per se, but at least as far as the registered agent was concerned, there was an internal process to verify if the registered agent is a valid agent, because that's one of the requirements under law for a company being established as a new entity, is to have a valid registered agent on file. So we walked through that, and then we actually went through the same screens of your internal database to confirm that all entities, even closely listed to ISL Inc., actually were all listed as an active status on your own internal database. At which point, that's the point in the conversation where she realized, okay, a mistake must have been made. Let me check and see who the examiner was. So then we went to the document on Lionshead Land Trust, and S. Gilbert, your initials, are up there at the top of the document. At which point
right.
she said to me, because I went through all these questions with her, I was asking her procedures for fraud, procedures for law enforcement, boom, 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 and she said what was first going to happen was you as the examiner would get notice that this had to be reviewed, and then she would also be taking it to her boss, the director of the Division of Corporations.
Right.
Whether she did that or not, or I don't know what happened after she got off that phone. What we do know got off that phone, is 5 days later, an individual, and you can look up his name. You may want to take these notes for your own purposes. His name is Mitchell Huem, Huhem. He actually apparently, did work with Donald Trump himself personally. But Mitchell Huem ended up dead inside the 7020 Lions Head Lane property that's inside this land trust 5 days after the call to Melanie, okay? And there are people that are still investigating that as we speak as a murder. And information has gone into the federal court. It's gone into the FBI. So Mitchell okay. Huem is, and been the other name. And I can give you a phone number, by the way, on.
But like I said, sir, were you telling me it's like it's I'm not saying
irrelevant. Irrelevant. Okay.
Me,
oh no, wait, Kevin, hold on. I want to answer something.
You need to speak with the. I mean, they can point you out maybe more information or
right.
whatever.
Okay,
you
okay.
know.
Oh.
Okay.
They may know something that I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
About it. If you would speak to either Lynn or Lynn.
Sylvia, my question is this. As we hang up the phone with you to call the director, what steps are you going to take personally to report that we have reported a fraud to you in the creation of this company? Are you going to notify somebody? Are you going to contact the director? What steps will you take to docket this into your system that there has been a call, that you can acknowledge that information that was sent to you was not sent to you, by whom, who we are, that we've called, that we've identified certain problems to you? What steps are you going to take?
I can take your name and your information down, your name, that I spoke with you on this date, giving them a heads up of what had occurred and everything. So I can do that. But in the meantime,
okay,
you would need
who is that?
To meet them
who is that
as
that,
well.
Who is the them you refer to?
She's referring to you and me.
It's either or, director on the bureau chief or Lynn Turner, whichever one you want to go through. I refer you going through.
I'd like to go to both. I think you should.
Okay,
but
you can only go through one at a time, though. But I'm saying, being that Miss Lynn is just over next, you know, she's with here. I mean, and Brenda is over. It goes from Lynn to Brenda.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you speak with Lynn. They're both directors and bureau chief here, so they both will be involved with this. Okay, so.
So you'll be notified.
Okay, let me have
my name is Elliot Bliog, and the last name is Bernstein, Bernstein.
Okay.
My name is Kevin.
Next.
My name is Kevin.
C or K?
With a K.
Okay.
Kevin, and then the last name is Hall, Hall. And my phone number is area code 518.
Okay.
755-8128.
Okay.
And then, and you should take, you really should take the last piece of information for your own purposes at this point, which is Lelani Ochoata from the document. Her phone number is 407. It might have changed, but this is the last number I had, 407-758-3554 as a cell number. And Lelani, back on February 18th.
And what's her name? Was this Lelana?
She's right. Yeah, if you go to the Lions Head Land Trust document, you'll see her listed as the incorporator. Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's L E I L A N I is the first name.
Right. Okay.
O C H O A D A is the last name, and that's what's on the document in your own system, okay?
Yeah, I've got it here.
She did a consented, authorized, recorded statement with Mr. Bernstein back in February of 2016, February 18th, I believe is the date, 18th or the 19th, I have to double check. I believe it was the 18th. She did a recorded statement authorizing it to be taped so it could be used for law enforcement purposes and court purposes, saying that she had no knowledge of this Lion's Head Land Trust company. She never lived at any address listed in Boca Raton on the filing. She's never lived in Palm Beach County in general. She never did any incorporation for this company. She had no knowledge her name was being used to do this. Everything that you could possibly imagine to say that her name was used fraudulently. She considered this... identity theft against herself, and that's where things apparently seem to have gotten very ugly, because that's where it got taken to this lawyer, and then the lawyer is friends with the person who ended up dead 4 days later. So, in any event.
Okay, good.
And then, hold on. One other thing is, I don't have the name. available, the full name available right now, but on that same date of the 18th of this year, February, I spoke to a Melissa who was at that Tallahassee address, okay, listed for the registered agent. Melissa confirmed that Lions Head Land Trust, Inc. was not one of their clients. They did not do the paperwork. They did not have permission to use the 1540 Glenway Drive, Tallahassee address that's listed as the principal place of business, as well as the mailing address for the corporation. No permission was given to Lions Head Land Trust to do that. And she also indicated that the name ISL, Inc., is not used in the state of Florida nor authorized to be used in the state of Florida. So she was further confirming. Now, one last piece of information, though, from that filing back, it looks like it was originally filed June of 2015, the land trust document. I don't know if you have that in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but where it shows the registered agent signature, Beverly Porter.
Right.
Now, when that goes in online, could anyone just put anyone's name in there, basically?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So somebody who was just professionally doing fraud could just pull names out of the phone book for all that, you know, while we're talking about, or just make up a name and actually put it in there.
That can happen, sir.
Okay, I was just curious on that part. So, yeah. Do you have any information?
Oh, wait, Kevin. That happened, sir? Did you say, because what happened when that happened? Did anybody in the department?
So we don't have no way of knowing. It was being done online. Like I said, sir, we have no way of knowing.
They have no way
of knowing. And when they do, they can
find out.
A misdemeanor. They could be fined as a misdemeanor if it's fraudulent, sir.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, that's good. Who do we file that with? Who files that? Your department or us?
No, you have to file that, sir. You need to speak with my. I don't want to mislead you and give you the incorrect information. They can tell you all of that information you inquire with your chief about that.
Okay.
I don't want to mislead you
absolutely.
In any way.
Absolutely.
You know, I appreciate that.
Elliot,
so,
if I can, I can just ask you one last question, and then are you able?
Sure.
Two last questions. First of all, are you able to transfer us directly to Lynn?
Sure.
Okay, and before you do that, in terms of the Beverly Porter, though, from any of the information you can see from your end of the computer, can you tell what state she's from or where Beverly Porter's from?
Well, like she said, she signed on behalf of the registered agent, so that's not in this Tallahassee. That's the only information that's given.
The Tallahassee address, which the other person...
The Tallahassee address for the ISL, uh-huh.
Okay, so just to be clear, so now we have... So it's really three or four areas of fraud, which is the registered agent was not valid at the time that they submitted this. It's the incorporator who says they had no knowledge and this was identity theft. And so that's two bases. And then we have the third basis where somebody from that Tallahassee address, a company that does have that address, said that there was no authority or permission for anyone from Lions Head Land Trust to use their address as their principal place of business or the mailing address for their corporation. So those are the three areas of the fraud. What you do with it from here, I guess, is up to you. But if you can transfer us to Lynn, I guess it's Schaffstall.
Okay.
Thank you. Sylvia, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Just one second, okay?
Hold on
just a second.
Thank
you,
Sylvia.
Just a second, Patrol. not answering.
Okay.
Let me see, Brenda. 491. Hold it just a second.
Okay.
Both of them are away from their desk.
Okay.
Would you like to use the voicemail?
You know, or, I think probably prefer to call back personally. But
okay, Miss Elliot, right?
Well,
Elliot.
Well, I'm Kevin. I think Kevin. Elliot's still on the line. Elliot, you still there?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay. If I give the number to Miss Terling, who should she call directly to?
Elliot, would it call you, or what do you think? Yeah.
Elliot, or, I didn't get Elliot's number.
No, I'd give her Kevin.
Yeah, call me.
Call Kevin?
Yeah, because I'm the one who had the original conversations. I had the original conversations with Melanie in February, and Sylvia, you've been phenomenal. If you don't mind taking one other piece of information here.
Sure.
Because I just confirmed some of my notes. So the conversation with Melissa with Melanie was definitely February 18th of this year.
Okay.
The conversation with let me just stay where we are first. The conversation with Leilani Ochoata and the author the authorized recorded statement was also February 18th of 2016.
Okay.
And it all started with a call to Melissa at Incorporating Services LTD.
Oh.
Okay, not ISL, but Incorporating Services Capital LTD at phone number 850-656-7956, who confirmed that the address at 1540 Glenway Drive, Tallahassee, Florida, 34021, could not be used as a principal place of business as listed by Lion's Head Land Trust, and also said that anyone filing should have had to confirm that there was any business agreement between their company and Lion's Head, and there was no such agreement. Melissa had never heard of Leilani Ochoata, and she also said technically the state of Florida should have rejected the filing. That's where apparently there was some oversight that we're trying to find out about. But
right,
in any event,
right.
And then of course we both Elliot and I did talk to Melanie Sellers again today,
right.
The 20th of September 2016.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So. All right. But I'm going to go upstairs and speak with Miss Melissa along with Brenda.
Yeah.
And maybe go from there. Okay. Let them give them a heads up of what's going on and everything. And may have spoken to an officer or somebody. You know, may have called and talked with them about this previously. Whatever. I don't know, but I'll see what I can do.
And can you make sure? Okay. Can you make sure that everybody files a report with your directors to notify them of what's going on and create a record of this, because we'll be FOIAing it. And, want to see everybody's compliance, that they, are now aware that they, what's transpired to this point should be in a formalized record internally.
Okay. So the number, your number is 518-755-81828, right?
8128 for me, and my name is Kevin.
Kevin, okay, all right, sir. So we'll we're going to see what can come up with there, see what's going on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Very good.
Thank you very much. Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye bye. Bye bye.